The views and comments expressed on the Space Show by its guests, callers, and listeners belong to them. The Space Show and its hosts serve only as a platform and are not responsible for others' comments or views. All topics discussed on the Space Show are primarily for educational purposes.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the Space Show with Dr. David Livingston. Broadcasting from 7 continents, consistently bringing you quality news and interviews with the best and brightest minds in the new space economy. Here is the founder and host of the Space Show, the man who best articulates the vision of space commercial enterprise, Dr. David Livingston.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to our Friday morning Space Show program, California time. I'm your host, David Livingston. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we look forward to another good program. A couple of quick announcements. We're on our 60-minute format this morning, so do pay attention to the clock. And also, because of the Labor Day holiday, there will be no Space Show program on Sunday, none, zero, nada. So the next live Space Show program will be Tuesday evening, California time. So do remember that, okay? And we appreciate that. The toll-free number for today, should you wish to call and talk to our guest, who I will introduce in just a second.
If you'd like to make a call,
well, that's great.
And try again.
Huh? We lost our guest. Wow. Okay. So this isn't going to be a portrait of phone calls. Let me make the announcement. The toll-free number is 866-687-7223. Email drspace@thespaceshow.com. And the newsletters are all up, and the schedule is all up. But everything changes tomorrow, okay? So we post the new week's schedule tomorrow. And then the newsletters will go out Monday, even though that is Labor Day. Make sure you note that we are a 501c3 nonprofit with One Giant Leap Foundation. And listeners just like you support our program. We thank you very much for that, and you keep us going. Remember, we also have sponsors, Northrop Grumman, the Space Foundation, Astrox, AIAA, Moonward Celestis, and the National Space Society. And we also, on the longer shows, read sponsor messages. On the shorter shows, like today, I just do the shout-out. Let me see if I can get a hold of Roman back on the program. Our guest is Roman Shupurka, if I got that right, and he has a lifestyle management and luxury travel firm, but we're interested in the space aspects, which are called spacevip.com. Check it out. And we'll get Roman back on the line. So just hang on. Give me a second to call him. He's on the East Coast. We'll be right back, okay?
Yes, we're back, and we have our guest Roman on the phone. And Roman, we introduced the show, did all the announcements once the phone disconnected. So we're ready to go, and introduce us to Space VIP.
Excellent, David. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Roman Chaparuka. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Space VIP. Space VIP was started in the beginning of this year to promote universal space literacy, effectively. A little bit about myself, just to give you context. I own and operate a lifestyle and travel company, having been working for the ultra-high net worth, inserting their lifestyle and leisure since 2009. In 2018, I was approached by a private space company who asked me to help them promote missions to the International Space Station, where the ticket prices were $50 million. And in November of last year, I introduced them to the third and final astronaut for their AX-1 mission going up in January of 2022. And as a result, I founded Space VIP because it became apparent that the general public didn't know as much about this industry of new space and all the incredible opportunities that are available to us on this planet that are related to space, like zero-gravity flights or analog missions, zero-gravity training, centrifuge training, and so on. we really created Faith VIP just to help people understand and navigate this world, which is seemingly difficult because some of these companies have charming and fantastical rhetoric, like, you know, the dawn of humanity, but a lot of us just want to be able to understand, what is it, how long do I need to train for it, how much does it cost, where do I get to do it? So we try to create a place where we can synthesize and aggregate all of this information into one. That's a little bit about me and Space VIP.
Do you market to the space community, to the general public? Who is your target customer?
Really, I think it's important to change this narrative that I've seen go on in the last July, where people were speaking negatively about these billionaires going to the suborbital missions. And I don't think that sort of conversation is helpful. Everyone is certainly entitled to their negative opinion, but it's ironic where you're complaining about billionaires on the same technology that was created specifically for space. So we're looking to educate the general public and to help them understand that many of the things they take for granted in their daily lives are a result of space exploration, space technology, and what we seek to do by that education is to unite as one world to make real progress into space and understanding it. And I think that'll, in some ideological way, help us evolve to a higher sense of consciousness.
Where do the people come who buy services or adventure rides or, I don't know, even centrifuge training? Do they come from within the industry? Are they curious folks out in the general population? Where do you see the actual customers to the business coming from?
The actual customers is coming from the general public, because people who are already in the industry are familiar. They know that they can go to NASA outside of Philadelphia and do this, or they can go out west and do something else. So, you know, like flying to Hawaii and doing an analog mission with high seas. So it's really educating and just allowing for everyone else to know that such opportunities exist. I've been doing this 3 years now, 3.5, and I didn't know about a lot of these things until the people in the industry introduced me to them, so I'm trying to bring that to the general public. I've had several friends and clients do zero gravity flights, and they think it's the coolest thing ever, and they're calling me back and saying, okay, what's next? What else should I be doing? How else can I get more involved? So people don't know what they don't know, and I think it's important to push forth those experiences and avail those things to them. And hopefully they'll become better as a result of learning about space and participating in it.
You do have an early email from listener Todd, who's in San Diego, and he says the introductory message that you just put out on the space show about informing and educating about space, do you by chance take that into any school systems, and if so, what ages do you try to reach students?
That's a fantastic question. We actually just got partially funded for the philanthropic arm of Space VIP. It will be called Space Prize, and our intent is to have a global contest to promote women in STEM. So we want to go to the top two cities of each of the 197 countries around the world with the goal of finding women and promoting that message. We're focusing on 15 to 18-year-old women, and the winners of which will get to do private astronaut training with Warp Deep in Florida, then go to Star City, Russia, to do land-based EVA training, and will hopefully culminate in an experience on Space Perspective, which is the hydrogen balloon. Prior to that, we're going to have a hyper-local event in New York City where we're going to five public high schools, one in each borough of New York City, because that's where Space VIP is based, and have a similar type of contest. So those young people get to go on a zero-gravity flight, the winners of those contests. So, yes, that is very much on our agenda, and I thought that actually been at the forefront is our not-for-profit initiative.
Todd sent in a follow-up, and he says, I understand the importance of reaching out to women in STEM, but are you also reaching out and trying to educate men and high school-age boys?
The current initiative was funded by a woman who's involved in deep encryption and technology, and since she's the benefactor of this, we are focused on, in the first and foremost, we're portion of the contest will be focused on women in STEM, but the winners will also get a massive subsidy to their educational institution and or town to further support STEM education. So yes, that will inadvertently affect men and women similarly, but the winner of the contest in the first go-around will be a woman.
I've never done the statistics for this on the space show, but I would bet that maybe close to 50% of all space show guests, even from the earlier years, if I took all 20 years into the thing, are probably women, maybe even a little bit more. And on the engineering side, I would not be surprised if I've had more women on than men on the engineering side. So
I think you're progressive and ahead of the curve, David. So if I was looking at the regular statistics of the 566 people that have gone to space, only 11% of them are women. I think the numbers are only 14% of NASA's employees are women, and some 14 or 15% of all aerospace senior positions are held by women. So those numbers are...
Well, the government is different than getting people trying to go to space versus being interviewed on a radio show. But I'm hardly progressive, but when I invite people on the show, it's strictly 100% based on accomplishment and merit, and nothing else enters into it. And often I never even have a picture of the person, so I can usually tell gender by name, but not always. You know, some names go either way. I find it interesting how people want to target this or that, and I think they kind of don't really know what's going on a lot around them, but, you know, it's their money, and I certainly appreciate that they can use it the way they want. Just like billionaires, if they want to go to space and spend their money going to space, they damn well should have the right to do that. But they should also go dive with great white sharks if they want to do that, or climb the mountains. So I'm all for billionaires using their money in space or any other way that they want to do that. Do you do other adventure trips, by the way, like shark diving, mountain climbing, things that are risky and fun?
Well, of course, in my regular line of work in the lifestyle and travel business that I've had for many years, we do a lot of really interesting things. Whether it's expeditions to track snow leopards in the Himalayas, or diving expeditions in the Galapagos, or African adventures, that's all within the wheelhouse of what we do. Space VIP also offers aquanaut experiences, like a dive to the Mariana Trench. We're now in talks with the folks who've been doing several dives to the Titanic and other wrecks. So we're very much involved in other, what I would call, space-adjacent activities.
Roman,
a lot of these.
Let me step on you and interrupt you for a minute. I just got a note from a listener that they were not getting the stream, so I just fixed a problem that happened when the phone call dropped. I'm not going to add this to any of the time. Hopefully you can stay a little longer. But can you go back and maybe summarize what we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes, maybe summarize it in 5 minutes, since there was a streaming problem. I do have it fixed now. When the lines get dropped, it cuts the system off, and
okay.
I have to go in.
Do you want to just start over again?
No, because, tell us about space.
Do you want me to start talking about who I am? Or?
No, start with just introduce us to Space VIP, why you formed it, and your outreach both to the general public as your customers, which I ask you a lot of questions about, and also your educational outreach programs that you're now engaged in due to philanthropy of one of your customers, I guess I should say.
Sure.
So go ahead and sort of repeat some of that.
Oh, excellent. Well, hi, everyone. My name is Roman Chibaruka. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Space VIP. Space VIP was designed to inspire the public and promote universal space literacy. We were founded after selling a $50 million ticket for a 10-day trip to the International Space Station that's set to go up in January of 2022. And we really just wanted to make it simple for people to understand and approach space. It seems that it's that it's made to be convoluted or fantastical, and it's not. And we connected with all of the space operators that you see on spacevip.com and really flushed out what their offer was, how long the training is, so we can answer basic questions so people around the world can assess whether or not they're capable or interested in doing some of these things. Our questions were purely from a customer point of view. How long is the experience? How long is the training associated with experience? How much does it cost? Where is it? And a brief description of what someone could expect. We've heard from a tremendous amount of people around the world saying thank you so much for creating something so simple and approachable. And essentially our goal is to inspire and educate the next generation of private astronauts. A lot of people don't know that you can get access to zero gravity flights or centrifuge training or things like that that are available to us on this Earth right now without needing $50 million. While expensive, a zero gravity flight is $7,500, but it's certainly not $250 or $750 or tens of millions of dollars. So as a result of the successes we've seen with Space VIP, we were recently funded for a not-for-profit endeavor called Space Prize, which will be a global contest to promote women in STEM. We will initially start with a hyper-local contest in New York City and go to one school in each borough. So we'll have five schools total participating, and we'll choose a winner from each, and the winner will go on a zero-gravity flight in the tri-state area of New York City, and we hope to expand potentially to other cities in the United States and then eventually go global with this contest. We just think it's really important to spread the message and all of the good that comes from space. I know some people last month talked poorly about some of the billionaires going to space and suggested that the funds should be spent on this Earth, which is fine, and everyone's certainly entitled to their opinion. But I think it's important to note that a lot of the technology that we take for granted today is based on technology that was created specifically for space and just repurposed for us here on this planet. You know, folks who talk about food shortages should realize that satellites that are in space can help farmers irrigate their land and harvest their crop in a more efficient way. You know, we're connected with the world, and they're doing incredible medical research for Parkinson's and cancer. And I think the narrative is inherently flawed, where, you know, people are speaking poorly about the billionaires, because I think those people have the means and the interest, more importantly, to subsidize space and democratize it for all of us to go up there and enjoy it. And I think the end goal is really to experience the overview effect, which changes and effectively grounds us and allows us to realize our own interconnectedness, so that we're not fighting wars over imaginary borders. The overview effect, as you, David, very well know, is when you see the Earth suspended in space, and you don't see it as this place with dogmas or borders or conflicts. You see it as a beautiful blue planet. So I hope that in wanting to learn more about space, we can unite as one world to make real progress. So that's a little bit about me and what we've been doing in the last 12 months.
Jacob is in Denver, Colorado, and he said, what is your easiest product to sell to the general public about space?
Hey, Jacob, there are a couple of easily accessible items. I think the zero gravity flight is super convenient, and it flies around the United States. It's a brief introductory video, and then you hop on the plane and experience a Martian and lunar surface as well as zero gravity, which I think is fascinating. It's $7,500, so it's not $10 million or $1 million. And while $7,500 is a lot of money, I think it's quite approachable. There's another really fascinating company called Orbit, who are doing private astronaut training, and they're located right next to the launch site in Florida. So they're doing 4 days of VR training, meeting with astronauts, and getting Space 101. You do a zero gravity flight. You do a
constellations play. So it's kind of like a crash course in private space experiences. So I think those two would be the easiest and most accessible that you can do right now.
What is the cost of the Orbeat program?
Orbeat for a 4-day experience, inclusive of luxury hotels, I think it's about $30,000 per person. And that includes the $7,500 Zero Gravity flight amongst other experiences. It's all kind of packaged into one really cool 4-day event.
Do you see any demand coming up on the suborbital flights? What does that look like from a commercial seller of the experience? Are people calling you, you know, wanting to go on either Virgin or Blue? Did those flights whet people's appetite?
Those flights got a lot of people excited, but I think the people who are interested in these sorts of experiences understand that there's a long runway here. For example, you know, we all read about Virgin setback with the FAA investigation about them veering off course. And that's really unfortunate. But you, even prior to that, Richard Branson sold some 750 seats that are still due to be flown. So before the next person could go, you would need several years, even if you were flying folks, you know, every other week, to take place. Blue is certainly really exciting, but we've yet to see their rollout of scheduling and how they're going to accomplish that. People are much more interested in a space perspective, which is a hydrogen balloon that floats 20 miles above the Earth's surface, and it's a 6-hour experience where you take off at 4 o'clock in the morning. It takes about 2 hours to get to 100,000 feet. You see the sunrise, and you come back down, and that's about $125,000 per person in an 8-person capsule. So it's $1 million for the whole capsule. And they're set to fly in 2024. So what I am seeing is the same kind of buying frenzy that happened in, you know, 04 or 05 when Branson first started, and people are just lining up to do that.
That's going to be in Florida. Is that correct?
Exactly. Their initial launch site is out of Florida, though it is on their agenda to take off other parts of the world and the United States eventually. And that's a really, you know, low touch point experience. You don't need any sort of training because it's a pressurized capsule. They have a restroom, they have a bar, so theoretically speaking, you're sipping a cocktail while looking at the curvature of the Earth, which I think is incredible.
Is there anything that you offer that SpaceX provides, or is that maybe a possibility in the distant future, but it's not an item right now in your inventory, so to speak?
Well, listen, SpaceX certainly doesn't need any space brokers like me to introduce their services. I think it's pretty well known what they're able to do. Jared Isaacman didn't call me to call Elon. He called Elon directly and said, I want to buy a whole mission, and I'm going to raffle off money and raise funds for St. Jude's, and that's what he did. So, you know, we have relationships with all of the space companies because, again, the reason for Space VIP creation is to just make the landscape known to everyone of who the players are, what are they doing, what are their offers. We're here to educate and inspire. If people interested in buying, we're happy to facilitate that as well. But our initial mission is just to advise and make known, because I think once people are educated, people don't know what they don't know, and they're not buying what they're not familiar with. So I think the first point is to explain what the overview effect is and how deeply impactful it is. And if people are interested, then you engage them further.
You have an email from Jane in Tucson, and Jane says, I'm looking at your website as you're talking. I notice you offer Aquanaut experiences. I understand that's not the same as space, but can you talk a minute about your Aquanaut experiences?
Sure. The Aquanaut experiences we deem to be space adjacent because we kind of wanted to go from the highest points to the lowest points. So the Aquanaut experiences, I think, are tremendous. You know, you're looking at the dive to the Mariana Trench, which is the deepest point in the world's ocean. Then you would go in an unlimited depth titanium submarine, which is tremendous. And that's a it takes about 4 hours to get to the bottom. You spend another 4 hours below and four to go and back up. And each trip gives something back to science and humanity, because I think only 21 or 22 people have been to those depths at this particular moment in time. The Aquarius Reef Base is a fascinating institution. They actually created an exclusive offering specifically for us, because our clients had interest in spending time below the Earth's surface, being designated as aquanauts and doing research underwater. So you need to consider that one of the things that we're also focused on educating the public on is these mission-driven experiences. It's not just going up to the International Space Station and hanging out. It's not going below the Earth's surface to the deepest point in the Hadal zone, because you're bored effectively. It's darkness down there, but you're doing research and you're trying to make a difference.
What does it cost to go on the Mariana's Trench?
Mariana's Trench is $750,000 for a 3-day expedition. So you would fly into Guam, then get on a 68-meter research vessel, sail for about 22 hours to the Mariana Trench site, and then dive. And the next day you would come back. They recommend doing a couple of dives, so it becomes a 4 to 5 day trip, just so you need to plan for weather and things like that. So most of the time they go in particular months where it's properly organized and there are no issues. And Aquarius Reef Base is a $200,000 experience for 7 to 8 days, depending on the type of mission purpose that you select, whether it's studies of sharks or other underwater marine life. It really depends what the mission purpose is. And then what we've been doing for our clients is aligning them with research institutions. There have been folks who are saying, you know, I love what you're trying to do, but I'm not physically fit, or I have no interest in going to space or underwater. I will buy a ticket and donate it to a college or my alma mater that can obtain value from this sort of research. So there's been a couple of different ways to structure that.
Your website also mentions another one that kind of intrigues me: the Planetary Vanguard Maiden Mission Earth 300. So I guess that hasn't happened yet.
No, Earth 300 is an incredible project that is in the works. It's visionary. It will effectively be a nuclear-powered luxury yacht that will house students, researchers, and leisurely clients as well, leaving virtually no carbon footprint, dedicated to research and saving the world's oceans. But it's still in the works, and we think they have a great message, and they're doing wonderful things, and they're in the process of raising money to get to the next step, and we wanted to support them, which is why they're listed on CCIP.
Is there a nuclear-powered yacht, or is that to be designed and built?
I think it's to be designed and built.
How cool that would be.
Yeah, that would be tremendous. And you see it's visually very attractive. Something like out of a Bond movie.
Kind of almost looks like a manta ray or something like that. Very cool. Do you go down to the Mariana's Trench with a crew? I mean, how does that work? Or are you the only one, or how many people go in at a time?
No, only two people can fit in the submersible. It's quite spacious. As I said, it's an unlimited depth titanium submarine, and it would be the client and the pilot.
So there is a pilot with you?
Absolutely.
How cool that would be.
No, it's tremendous. They see the most incredible things, and the ride is pretty smooth. I think the last time we had a client, they watched a movie on their ascent. Because we're just cruising back up there for 4 hours.
So people have actually taken this experience.
Yes.
How do you find your customers? Do you just advertise, or do they come to you?
No, David, we've been working with the ultra high net worth for nearly 20 years. So we have a vast network of those sorts of clients and their friends. It's the same way that I was able to introduce a client to purchase the $50 million ticket for a 10-day trip to the International Space Station. I've been talking about it passionately because I think it is the next evolution, and the people that I work with have traveled the world. They've been everywhere. They've tracked snow leopards in the Himalayas. They've gone swimming with the penguins. They've done Saint-Tropez and the safari. So for some people, this is the next evolution, and some people think that the coolest things are experiences and not things that you can buy in the materialistic sense. So for them, hiking the seven peaks and going to the depths of the Mariana Trenches really is meaningful and inspiring.
You have a page on your website called Infographic. So this lists, I guess, all the possible now and future kinds of space things that you can take. Am I getting that correct?
Oh, yes. I love the infographic in particular because the infographic was initially born out of a spreadsheet that I created for myself back in 2018 when I started promoting the mission to ISS, because I wanted to understand myself what is going on there and what is feasible. So I created a spreadsheet, and I first filtered it by price points. And then I said, the price points don't work. Let me filter it down by what happens on Earth, what happens above Earth, and what happens under the world, in the world's ocean. So then my design team saw it, and they're like, Roman, we can create this beautiful document. And it's been really popular with the press, and the people on social media have loved it because it synthesizes and aggregates all of the data in one document, and it just gives you the bare bones of what, where, how long, why, and how much. So I'm particularly proud of that.
So you have companies here that I'm not really all that familiar with. Like, what is Space Perspective? You say that's a suborbital company. So who are they?
Oh, Space Perspective was founded by Jane and Tabor, who are
four. Oh, that's the balloon company. Okay.
Yes, exactly. That's the balloon company. The Space Perspective is their new endeavor, and we stand behind them and hope that it's tremendously successful, because I think it's a lot more palatable for a lot of folks to just walk into a pressurized capsule rather than training to go do a 12-minute suborbital flight. This is much longer, and you get to, kick back and hang out.
Do anything with Russian companies, or is China starting to enter this? I know they have a couple of what they call commercial companies. Is China thinking about entering this commercial type of market?
We haven't laid the groundwork with China, though I think it's important to start bridging a gap. As I mentioned earlier, we need to unite as one world to make real progress into space. So if you're Chinese, I'm Russian, and he's American, and I have a great rocket, and he has great fuel, and you have a great engineer, then let's pool those resources rather than operating against one another. So we hope to make a friend out of them so that we get to promote the same interests, because they have a lot of smart people over there, and we have a lot of smart people, and there's smart people all over the world, and those folks should come together so that we actually make a difference and move forward rather than trying to beat one another to space or to colonize Mars. I don't really see, okay, so you'll be the first one there, and then you could rule the world and have all of us feed you grapes while you take baths in a golden bathtub. Like, I don't get it. What's the point?
Listeners, you can continue to email us, drspace@thespaceshow.com. You can also call if you want, 1-866-687-7223. We'll make up the time we lost earlier in the show, so there's still time to hear from you. Robert is in Atlanta, and Robert says, I am looking at the infographic, but I noticed these vehicles down at the very bottom of the page. So what is Spaceship Neptune? Is that the balloon?
Exactly. That's the capsule that's connected to the hydrogen balloon.
Okay, so that's the pressure capsule.
Exactly.
What is the I'm reading his email as you're explaining it, the high G centrifuge. I guess he doesn't recognize some of these items that are at the bottom of the page.
Right, the high G centrifuge is the centrifuge that spins around to replicate high G forces. One of the companies that we work with that use this sort of machine.
So that's not a space vehicle. I guess that's where he's confused.
No. It is not a space vehicle. It's a training module.
So for people to understand, are most of the items listed on the infographic available to commercially access, or do some of these include?
Yes, all of them are.
All of those. So Axiom Space is available for some kind of access right now?
Exactly. Yes, Axiom Space is one of the companies selling missions to the International Space Station.
Amazing that there's this many companies. This is a great listing of what's available, because puts it all together. And
exactly. I mean, the only things that aren't happening, if you look at SpaceX, is not yet orbiting the moon. Axiom Space is set to go to the International Space Station with that mission that I mentioned earlier in early 2022. Space Adventures is sending two Japanese private astronauts in December. SpaceX is about to orbit Earth with Jared Isaacman Inspiration 4. Blue Origin just came down. Virgin, we discussed. Space Perspective is set to go in 2024. And then Space Adventures and Nancy Birlamin Training Academy offers all of these astronaut and simulation and centrifuge training. Zero-G, I think everyone is well-versed with their plane that travels across the United States. There's some newer companies coming out with zero-gravity offerings as well. And High Seas certainly does analog and lunar missions in Hawaii. We've also been in talks with a company called DMARS, which operates out of Israel and does lunar analog missions in the desert out there. So, yes, effectively 98% of the things that you see here are certainly available for implementation right now, which is why I think this list is so fascinating. Many people don't realize that there's so many cool things to do.
You have another email. Craig is in Dallas, Texas. And Craig says, can you clarify if we're talking about a suborbital space ride? I'm confused as to what the lowest age is that you can go. If we have family members and we want our kids to experience it too, what's the minimum age somebody has to be to go to suborbital space?
I think with suborbital, you might be referring to the Space Perspective or the Richard Branson or the Blue Origin. I think we just saw an 18-year-old go up with Blue Origin with their father paying for the $28,000 ticket. So I think I actually don't know the answer to that question in exact terms. I know that Space Perspective will allow younger children. I don't know where their cutoff would be, because it's a pressurized capsule and poses no danger, and so it becomes effectively irrelevant how old you are. But I would think for a Blue Origin and Virgin Galactic, it would be 18 years of age.
Is there an age requirement for the Marianas Trench?
No. I haven't come across that question, but I would think that you need to be of legal age in order to do that. But that's something that I will now ask, and I appreciate for Craig, was it, bringing it to my
Opinion. Craig is in Dallas, Texas. So I'm supposing,
you,
I'm not even clear on this, is legal age 16 or 18? I should know the difference. I had two kids.
Yeah, well, listen, I think for the sake, if you have really young children that you want to bring on a flight, please get in touch with me directly, and I'll make sure that your kids are able to get on with you. We'll make it happen one way or the other.
Are you planning to do any of these trips? And if you had your will and your wish list, which would you want to do?
Well, I would probably first, I've done zero gravity already, and I've done that a couple of months ago, and I thought it was tremendous. I think it's interesting if you charter the whole plane and bring some astronauts with you, and we're in the process of coordinating that for several of our clients. So I think a family adventure, or, you know, an office or a group of people that work together, getting on one plane and experiencing this, I think is tremendous and bonding. So I would certainly do that with my family. I'm super excited about Space Perspective, and we've actually purchased several of the capsules. So we had the inventory, and were able to service a whole family, for example, because the capsule fits 8 plus a pilot. So I'm certainly looking forward to doing that. And, of course, going to the International Space Station. But more importantly, what number one on my wish list is doing a spacewalk. And a spacewalk is not just going to the International Space Station, but it's going outside for 90 minutes. And, David, as you know, 90 minutes is how long it takes to orbit the Earth. So you get to do one full circle. And to me, that's number one in a platinum frame underlined with light shining on it.
So where
that
I didn't see
that experience is a whopping $72 million.
I didn't see that on your list. Which one is a spacewalk?
Oh, it's under Space Adventures.
Okay.
ISS plus.
Oh, spacewalk. There I see spacewalk training
only. Yeah, and that you can only do with the Russian.
On the Russian segment of the ISS then, right?
Exactly.
And I guess you're in a Russian spacesuit, then the whole thing is going to be,
yeah,
Russian. Do you have to learn Russian?
It's helpful. You know, if you ask Greg Olson, who was the third commercial private astronaut to go up there, his Russian is pretty good, having spent 4.5 months training with those guys. And I think part of the allure is to spend time with the Russians in Star City, go to Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan, because that's effectively where the space race began for the Russian, Yuri Gagarin being the first man in space. That's where he trained and then flew out of. So there's tremendous history and incredible space energy, if I may, out there. So, you know, so some people aren't so keen on going to live in Moscow for 4 or 5 months to do the training, but a lot of people actually find that to be the most interesting part.
You know, I would love to do a spacewalk. That'd be really amazing, even all the work you have to do ahead of time. We do have a phone call. Let me bring it up. Hi, caller. Welcome to our program today. Who are you and where are you, please?
Hi, David. This is John in Fremont, California.
Hi, John. Welcome to calling again. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, so this right now is really high-end luxury, I mean, for the rich at this point. And, I want to orbit the Earth, and I can't afford it, probably not for quite a few years. So, this is good. I think, you know, we got to start somewhere, and this is, you know, probably mirroring what happened with the, you know, the airline industry early on.
Precisely.
In the last century. And so the more we do it, the lower the cost is going to come down. So when do you think that, you know, the average person that wants to go to space can orbit the Earth? I mean, is it 10 years? Is it 20? I mean, I'm running out of time. I'm in my 60s here. So.
I don't know. I'm hoping it's a lot sooner than that. I hope that I could spend my children not for $50 million, but for $5,000, or if we all saw the movie Fifth Element, where they go to the neighboring galaxy on vacation, I think that would be really neat. But you're absolutely right with the points that you raise, and I think more people need to be conscious of that, that the more we do it, the cheaper it'll become, and it's good to support the work that's going on there. I think there's a lot of companies doing a lot of heavy lifting, figuring out how to get more communication towers up there and bring payloads. I'm in talks with a company who's in the process of coming up with ways to build a hotel in space. You know, Jeff Bezos certainly has the liquid net worth to build more launch sites, but I think it's a matter of ironing out one, getting it online, and then building more of them around the world so people can do it. The more payloads they bring up there, the more infrastructure is available. So I think 10 years might be a bit aggressive. But somewhere, you know, between 20 and 35, probably seems to be more reasonable. Again, I'm not, an aerospace engineer. I don't have any scientific background or insight into actually the logistics of making that feasible. But I know that there's a lot of people who are allocating a lot of time and, more importantly, money and passion, to move this forward. And it's thanks to progressive people like you who understand these concepts instead of, you know, speaking poorly about it. So I hope we can do it a lot sooner, because it'd be terribly exciting. And from all of the conversations that I've had with, you know, nearly three dozen astronauts at this point, they all say that the overview effect is tremendous and life-changing. So imagine if all of us felt that, how hopefully much kinder we would be to one another. And then we wouldn't be dealing with the issues that we're dealing with today. Because I think space might be the answer to a lot of this stuff, because policies and politics aren't really affecting any real change, right? We're trying, but it seems like we're spinning our wheels, so we need to evolve a little bit. And again, please forgive me for getting a bit idealistic, but I truly believe in that.
Hey, John, if you work with the vision expressed by recently on the show by Martine Rothblatt, you're going to be able to upload your consciousness to a computer before you're going to be able to afford the orbital visit, and then
wow.
And then you can download to a new body already in space. And skip
into
the launch part. Yeah, and skip the launch part. So you might have an option there before you run out of time.
John, actually, one thing that I do want to tell you is that my co-founder and chief strategy officer is in the process of structuring a deal where you can finance a lot of these experiences. So you don't have to pony up the $50 million or the $250,000 in one go. You can finance it and effectively make a mortgage out of it. So there's that option.
Yeah. Are you going to – well, I heard that Virgin Galactic got grounded recently because they violated their flight rules, taking Branson up there. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, they went off course, and they're being
investigated. Yeah, they went off course in 40 seconds, and now the FAA is investigating it because obviously that's not acceptable. So let's see what they flush out and whether there was real danger posed by it or it's hyper sensationalized.
Yeah. So you've got SpaceX up here on your infographic, and so what is your relationship with? Are you kind of like a tour broker with them, or you know, if someone wants to go to space and
SpaceX doesn't have a partnership or relationships. My goal with Space VIP is to avail this information to the public. All of this stuff is public knowledge. I just put it together in one place that would be easily digestible, because when I went on SpaceX or Virgin or Blue Origin or any of these other sites, there's a lot of writing on there. But I'm not really sure what some of the information means, which is why I wanted to put it together in a distinct, easy way. So as I mentioned earlier, if people are interested in these experiences, then we'd be happy to introduce them to these respective companies because we know all of these folks.
I gotcha. Okay. So this is information where people can go, if, and they would have to go directly to the companies to to get their trips. You don't arrange any of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We would have, you know, I've had conversations with people asking me questions, well, what's the difference between this one and the other? And we know the space, all pun intended, and we're able to guide them accordingly. And if they're interested in pursuing an experience, then we make an introduction directly to the company, and they build on the relationship, because that's the way that it should be. These are high dollar amounts, and you know, there's a lot of safety protocols involved, so it's better to hear it from the companies directly rather than us playing broken telephone. So we try to make it as easy and transparent as possible. As I said in the beginning, my goal is to educate the public and let them know that these things are going on. We're focusing a lot of attention and a lot of our funding on building the learn component of the website, so people start to understand some of these terms. You know, I walk around throwing words orbital and apogee and lunar and Martian surface and analog missions, and my wife looks at me and she goes, "You just assume that people know what you're talking about. These are foreign terms." And I think if we continue to talk about them in a real and meaningful way, particularly the overview effect, it'll be a lot more informative for everyone, and we could move the dial forward.
All right. Thank you.
I'll
talk to you later.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Nice to chat with you, John.
Okay. I have an additional question for you. Paul is in way upstate New York, he says. Do you have a newsletter, or what does becoming a space VIP mean on your website?
Becoming a space VIP is just registering with us so that we have your contact information and can start to share content as we develop it. We're in the process of putting together these short educational videos, just introducing these various space concepts and an intelligent and digestible way. So that would be a process of that. And yes, the newsletter is definitely in the works, so that's on our agenda as well.
So that's kind of like a newsletter, but if you do that, you get information and videos and other information about the company, correct?
Exactly, yes, and we hope to be able to, you know, send merchandise to people who have become space VIPs, and we're conceptualizing things like the first 1,000 or the first 566, which is indicative of the number of private astronauts. So we're still flushing those ideas out. We've literally just finished building the website about 2 months ago, so things are still kind of new, but we've had tremendous support from all over the world and from the space community, especially with our Space Prize, which is a non-for-profit initiative to promote women in STEM. So we're doing a lot of heavy lifting, but the support has been tremendous, and we're excited to move forward.
Phil is in... I've got a listener on hold, but Phil is in Canada with an email, and he says, "I missed part of the show. Sorry if this is a repeat. Roman, do you think there is a limit to how far space tourism can go? Could it, for example, ultimately finance a significant Mars settlement?"
I think so. I'm not educated well enough on the comments on the Martian component, though I do know that Yuri Milner, who's an investor and billionaire and I think has tremendous interest in astrophysics, he's funding what's called the Breakthrough Starshot Initiative, which is sending light sails to the neighboring galaxy called Alpha Centauri, and he's posed a mission for the scientists to try to do it in the next 20 years. So I think there's certainly funding and interest to go far beyond, and we could make a real difference.
Let's see who your caller is. Hi, caller. Who are you and where are you? Please, thank you for calling.
This is John of Fort Worth.
Hi, John.
I was kind of curious about this. You were mentioning this trip to the Marianas Trench. I remember a few years ago I went to see a movie about James Cameron had built a submersible and went down there. And I guess this is somebody else's developed a submarine to do this, or?
Yes, exactly. So we're working. working with, we're in the process of establishing a relationship with those folks that you mentioned that helped build that same sub. But yeah, the gentleman behind this Mariana Trench dive is someone by the name of Victor Vescovo, who's a venture capitalist and has deep interest in marine life, and he's an oceanographer and an explorer. And he had what's really interesting is called the Five Deeps Expedition, which is going to the deepest point in each of the world's oceans. And so one of the focuses has been the Mariana Trench. So he graciously allows for private individuals to make use of his vessel and the submarine that he built specifically for the Five Deeps Expedition. So it comes with a tremendous support team, and the things that they're doing are fascinating for science and the world.
Fascinating. I just thought that's interesting. All this is, I guess this is the stuff for the people that that have enough to buy something that nobody else can afford, kind of. that's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, hopefully with them doing these things, maybe someone who's a young adult today looks at it and says, I've always had an interest in the oceans. I, too, want to do this. How do I go about this? Because I know it may sound corny, but it's where there's a will, there's a way, and maybe you become the billionaire, or maybe you become the next Jacques Cousteau, or whatever your dream is that you're pursuing. So I think it's important to honor those desires as long as they're directed in a positive way, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Just you have to buy the right lottery ticket, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is an interesting show. That's basically all I was going to talk about. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Roman, we're coming up on the end of the program. What have we missed? What should we have talked about that we haven't talked about, or what else would you like to tell us about?
I think we've covered a lot of really interesting parts. I'm excited to build on our philanthropic endeavor, which is Space Prize. We will be doing a lot of outreach in the next 12 to 24 months to trying to inspire and excite people about promoting women and hopefully everyone else in STEM and space adjacent careers and interests. I just ask folks to be open-minded and not focus on the negative aspects of things, as people have tended to do in this past July with some of these billionaires going to the international, going into suborbital flights. I think the folks going up there, whether private astronauts or NASA astronauts or the Russians or the Japanese, are doing tremendous work. And there's so much happening in space, whether it's 3D organic printing or Parkinson's and cancer research. I've now been in talks with somebody who they're doing a lot of stem cell research there. So it's important to keep an open mind and understand that there's many experiments that can be done so much easier or only in a microgravity environment, and that sort of knowledge will come back down on Earth and make drastic impacts. Is there something that I missed, David, that you think we should discuss? I'm happy to give more time. I know that.
No,
my tardiness was my own.
No, I think you've told all, and so if people want to stay abreast of your information, and I'm assuming this info page that you have all the information, I'm assuming you update that infographic and keep it pretty up to date. Is that correct?
Yes, we're actually in the process of creating a new version of this that will actually be interactive, where you can, you know, click on certain buttons and icons, and it could show you. We're going to blend it with the exosphere and the atmosphere, so that you know exactly how far above everything is. So there's a lot of things that we're working on. And yes, if you become a space VIP, you'll be part of our community, and we will hold you, keep you up to date on all of the really interesting things going on. Eventually, we'll obviously synthesize the news like everyone else has been doing, so that you can keep up with all the current events. And we're really excited to get the learning component built out, because that'll be like space 101 for all of us regular people who don't understand these more convoluted concepts.
Of course.
So we want to do it in a kind of edutainment videos, which is a combination of education and entertainment. So that way it's fun and palatable and not just mumbo-jumbo jargon being thrown at you.
Now, your primary office is in New York, or are you located elsewhere too?
We're based in New York City, and our partners have offices in Florida as well, naturally.
Do you get flooded out in the recent Ida backlash storm?
No, I have inflatable rafts in my New York City apartment and some guns and ammo to fight off any potential looters.
Oh my God.
Sandy taught everybody a lesson, so we're prepared.
Is that the Sandy I used to date? She taught me a lot of lessons. And then she moved east with her storm waves. So I love your mentioning of The Fifth Element. Boy, I haven't thought about that movie and however many years it's been since they did that movie. But I love that movie.
The movie is tremendous. I love the notion of, as I said, being in the travel and now in the space business. It's space travel in the vacation sense. But they also deal with some very interesting concepts, like the fact that you need a fifth element, which is the supreme being, which effectively is governed by love, right? Because that's how they save the planet Earth from that other, the unknown mass that's taking everything. And that works. So the element of love, which is the supreme being, works with the four elements of earth, wind, fire, and water. And I think those are the components of our fair planet. So if we, again, I know it sounds a bit corny and idealistic, but I think there's something to be said about wanting to reach a higher level of consciousness. So that way we don't look at each other, with the color of our skin or sexual preference or whatever it may be, but where we come from the same place, and we need to evolve past these, I don't want to call them petty idiosyncrasies, because they're not, and they're tremendously important to people. But we just need to be bigger and better, and I'll leave it with that.
Well, when you evolve, you can dump your guns and ammo that you have in your apartment.
There you go, because I can just love my fellow brother, and everyone will share, and everyone will protect one another, and there will be no need, because nobody will be looting.
Absolutely. I have a note that someone says they're trying to sign up on Space VIP, and it's an endless loop, so I don't know, maybe they're doing something wrong or not, but...
You know what? In that case, if folks, those listening, are trying to sign up, send me an email, and I'll make sure to add you and that we stay in touch while we sort this out. And
how do they send you an email?
My email is RC, for Roman Chiparuca, or Romeo Charlie, @spacevip.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love your thoughts, and we'd be happy to keep you in the loop of everything going on as it develops.
Okay, and you have my email address, so you can sign me up if you want to do that. So.
Oh, with pleasure. Yes.
Yeah. Please sign me up, and I look forward to staying in touch and seeing how you're evolving, and probably talking to you down the road when more and more of these services come online, and hopefully more and more people take advantage of them.
Oh, I'm so excited about that. Thanks again for having me on your show. It was really a lot of fun.
Okay.
And really informative. Lovely to chat with your listeners. And again, my apologies for being
late. Well, and nice meeting you, and let's stay in contact. If I ever make it back to New York, I'll be sure to look
me up, please.
And,
I'd love to take
you. If I ever win the lottery, I'll be your customer. But I want to go orbital space.
I want to go outside. I want to do the space walking.
Well, yeah, I would do that as well too. But for sure, I'd love to orbit the Earth a couple of times. That would be a bucket list kind of thing for me. Or I'd like to go to the moon.
There are folks who are gearing up to do that. So hopefully soon.
I'd go to the moon too, but Mars probably a little bit too far for me. My dog couldn't go with me, and I don't want to be gone that long. So,
don't forget, Laika, the Russian dog, was probably the first being to go up there.
Well, yeah, but look what happened to Laika. So, I'm a diver from way back, so I would absolutely do the Marianas Trench if I could. Absolutely. I wouldn't think twice about it.
But, you know, the Marianas is interesting, but the things that they're doing in Florida with the reef base is
unbelievable.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's really, if you're a diver, that's I think that's actually more exciting than the Mariana Trench, because you're doing the diving yourself. You're living underwater,
right?
Essentially, you don't just go down and come back up. So I think it's tremendous.
Yeah, I've done.
You could wear your Rolex Submariner all the way down.
I've done shows about that, but nothing recently. I ought to revisit that. But absolutely, Roman, great meeting you. Stay safe and dry, and we thank you for reaching out and calling your company to my attention, and I look forward to talking to you again down the road.
Thank you. I'm really excited, and have a lovely weekend, and thanks to all of the listeners and the questions.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to spend time with you all.
Okay, and listeners, remember, no show Sunday due to Labor Day. Have a great holiday weekend. Stay safe, stay dry, and as always, keep looking up, and maybe one of these days you can take a walk up there, and you can call Roman when you're ready to do that.
I would be happy to help. Standing by.
Thanks, standing by. Thanks again. Have a good holiday weekend. Listeners, back on Tuesday, do look up. There's a lot to see up there, especially at nighttime. Goodbye from Roman, David, and the Space Show.